Not in the waiting sense, you shall have thinking about your English.
I don't know, the one that followed is from BA, but then the BA was not here, she was not here, I don't know.
No, because the problem of cancer is in the air.
So we completed the report, but there were certain issues that were not very clear, were outstanding. And just to... when we visited the work dump, for instance, we were told about the delivery date. That will be April 2011. And they insisted that that date then. Now, yesterday we had a deliberation amongst ourselves as to whether from what we saw, do we think that was realistic? And to us, delivery meant that the water will go to the people. We're told about second dates and of that delivery and whatnot. But we thought that it would be better to ask the researcher just to clarify those things as to exactly what is it that they meant. I would want the researcher just to give us feedback. Mr. Shaw.
Thank you, Chair. Chairperson, remember that the first changes that were made in the report yesterday were on the first page. I think probably it's better for us to start there from the beginning of the report, which was the rearrangement of the staff composition area underneath the area of members. Parliament, and then stated that dependent officials were also met in various sites and put them below the staff and members. That was the proposal from the members yesterday. We also as the chairperson has indicated that there was a deliberation regarding the completion of the dual dam yesterday. In the report, it indicated that the department is very adamant that the project will be completed by the 1st of April, and the delivery of water will then begin from there. Now, it came out from the deliberation yesterday that there are two versions of this statement. Then he went as far as clarifying it. Either the delivery of water to the dam, or did they mean the delivery of water to the people? Now, when I spoke to one of their officials yesterday, he told me that the 1st of April means the completion of the dam itself, and then the delivery of water means the delivery of water to the dam, not to the people. So that was their explanation, that they will complete the dam on April and then deliver the water to the dam. Then I went as far as asking some probing question as to say, what is the exact date have they anticipated for the delivery of water to the people? Because I think as the committee was going to oversight, we had that in mind, that we put people first in this oversight trip. So what is happening there? And then they said, no, there is there are different phases of delivering water to the people. But as of now, the department has got certain challenges in relation to that particular project. Hence, it's a very complex project. So there is a high level of uncertainty in terms of when are they going to deliver water to the people. One, the mines have not yet signed the agreement. And two, ESCOM, which was a major stakeholder of the popular project, which was going to assist in injecting some certain resources in that project, has also pulled out. So now it leaves them with a huge amount of gap. What they proposed initially is to meet with Treasurer today to try and see how are they going to resolve these uncertainties? Because having these outstanding agreements not being made, it gives them some difficulties of going to the financial market and raise funds, because if mines were signed those agreements, it was going to be possible for them to finance this project through government fiscal and through raising of funds from the financial market, which is loans basically. So now they're unable to go there because there are no agreements. So it means there's a gap. Three, I've also clarified the issue that was raised by Honorable Domestikai regarding to off-budgeting. Because as I was explaining yesterday, but I was also not convinced as well. So the way they define it is that they say if it's off-budgeting, it's not within the budget of the department. It's going to be borrowed from somewhere else. It's a debt capital. They refer to it as a debt capital. So when they borrow it, they're supposed to use this agreement from mines, because they said as a guarantor that the department is going to be able to pay the debt. So that's the status quo. So what I've proposed to the chairperson is that maybe it will be wise for the committee to make a follow-up meeting with the department after today's meeting with the treasurer, because the department apparently is meeting with the treasurer today to clarify these issues, to deal with these uncertainties, and come up with a way forward. It would be better for the committee to follow up on that meeting as to what are the resolutions, what is the way forward the treasurer and the department came into in relation to this project. And thirdly, what we've decided to do is to leave the proposed changes as underlined. They start in page 4, some of them which are underlined. So I'll request the honorable members to look at them and see if they agree and if it's something that was proposed yesterday from page 4.
What are those changes? In
page 4, in paragraph 1, there was an issue about, there was a deliberation about the service level agreement between department and mines. So, as that paragraph was modified to the statement that says the committee is of the view that the conclusion of service level agreements between the department and mines is an important step which needs to be expedited. It was an input that was proposed by the committee that we need to put in this paragraph.
I think that my understanding, subject to correction of the members, understanding is that what you're going to now is detail. But the broad issue was the delay. Because if you remember, we indicated from the beginning that the initial presentations by the department here were to the effect that they contributed part of the delay to this failure to sign agreements between the mines and them. When we got there, they refuted that, said, no, it has nothing to do with that, but there's an expansion that is taking place in the dam. I think about 5% or what? Yeah, that is has contributed to that. But now, I think your report is saying that up to now, there's no buy-in from the mine. Now, there will be a meeting between the department and National Treasury today. In other words, I think it clarifies the issue of the service level agreement, because there's nothing on the table until the negotiations take place between I don't know whether it will be between the Department of Water Affairs, or it will be, I'm sure National Treasury will be involved in those kind of it looked like it was supposed to be a triple P kind of project.
now clearly we're informed there, and I think that the person that you spoke to also confirmed, but up to now, the minds have not signed, which is also giving, is creating some problems. Problems of certainty in terms of budgeting. Number two, the just ensuring that, or also, I mean, budgeting in the sense that we were informed that if then the clearly those people, I mean, the mines do not buy in, or the private sector doesn't buy in, National Pillar of Fame would be approached to close the gap. Now they are saying they still would want to go out and borrow, but that will be conditional to the fact that the private sector has bought in into the project. I think that what we could do, my suggestion would be that we withhold the report, the final the adoption of the report, until we have clarified these things with the Department of Water Affairs. I'm informed that tomorrow Water Affairs will be in Parliament for the EPC. Now the problem is in the mornings tomorrow is the at the caucus, it's the caucus day tomorrow. Then in the afternoon, how do we handle it now? So suppose they are meant to finish at 4:30. Yeah. So that we would like to write as accurate a report as possible. We don't want to write a report that people will challenge that, well, it's not what we said to you. Honorable sir.
Chair, thank you. Yes. I think it will be a bit premature for us to actually try and rush the department to see us tomorrow and for us to see the department. Simply from the point of view that I don't think they would have enough time to prepare themselves, you know, with regard to the questions that we want to specifically raise. So I think it's important that they come back later and that we tell them what, you know, we want to know. Because what worries me is that when we build the dam, our main purpose is to make sure that the water gets to the people. That's what we want to achieve. Now, it doesn't get there because they can't continue with the project because the mines haven't, you know, haven't bought in. Now, my argument is they should have had the mines buy in and signed before they started building the dam. Otherwise, you know, we're going to sit and we get nowhere. And I'm sure if they did that, the mines would have signed at that particular point in time because that was a few years ago. And if they signed, we would have been over away now. And they couldn't have withdrawn. But be that as it may, the fact is that, you know, we've got to get the water to the people. And we want to know from the Department of Water Affairs how we're going to achieve that. Chair, thank you. I think what my colleague has said is very important. I think it's our core function is to let the people get the water. You know, it's very important. But Chairman, I'm not an engineer, but I cannot see how that particular war can be completed by April next year. I just don't see it's impossible as far as I'm concerned. Even if they work double shifts or something like that, I just cannot see how it could be completed. So, Chairman, I think we should take them to task. Say that they should give us another date, completion date, because I don't think that's a viable date, April next year, Chairman. Thank you.
No, I'm laughing.
I'm laughing because what you're saying was yesterday's debate yesterday, that how possible is it that they could finish. That's why we had to do this follow-up, because we were not convinced.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think I agree with Honorable Ravi on reviewing the date of the completion. But to be honest, at the time of our visit, we were concerned that the service level agreement had not been signed. I mean, if we are in line with this report and the time of our visit. But if we want to verify the other things, then we can withhold the report. But when we visited there, we were concerned that no service level agreement had been signed.
Thanks, Chair. Well, commenting on your view that maybe we should have further engagement with the department with respect to finalization of the report, I'm not sure whether we'll have sufficient time, given the kind of program we have unfolding with the budget. Perhaps we should find a wedding that we put the safety valve in the wedding around the service level agreement that enables that can say once this agreement is concluded, then there's going to be imperative that service level agreement is entered into, so that we don't withhold the report because of that particular sentence. So I think the phrase should be elastic enough for us to adopt a report at the end of this session. I think that on the second issue around the date, the new date and so on, well, I'm as skeptic as you are, but I think we should separate our view to the statement, which I can say at the moment is a statement of fact that they will finish by this time, and rather do a checkup when the time comes closer, rather than to pursue a matter of date, because remember they said that they will reschedule the work program internally. So I don't think that we should be pushing that. My view is we accept what they told us, that they will catch the water or harvest the water or whatever on that date, and we would like to see that when that date happens, when that date the date arrives. But on the issue of the phrasing, we just make it a little bit elastic. Now that the agreement has not been signed, they are meeting, we say once this concluded, then it will be imperative that the service level agreement is entered into, so that it's clear what party each party delivers to the deal. That was my suggestion.
Thank you, Chair. I think Honourable Ramon Dagan has covered, because I was looking at the fact that, or the recommendations that we should uphold the adoption of the report vis-a-vis the time left, and I think really that won't be possible for us. So I think the two should go is it parallel? But I just want to find out from the members, didn't these people tell us that they will finish if the mines don't sign, there won't be any problem. Didn't they say something like that? Which means they were actually not giving us sure. I think really we should defer those, and as honorable member says, and we give ourselves time and give them time, so that when we go back to them, really, we should show them that we are not here to blame about that. We can just be full. And then when we turn our backs, we find that they were really not telling us facts. They were playing with us just to impress us that this will happen, when they actually knew that it was not so. Thank you, Chair. I was just going to say, the department knew that we were coming, and they appointed the delegation, which they said thought was relevant, the technical people who are hands on with whatever was happening, and for the mere fact that they were hands on, they knew all the financial challenges facing them, because they have that budget that assists them to do the work, and they as well just to tell us what their problems were, and they told us that whatever they give us, that nothing will obstruct their progress. So if they were not telling the truth, then the problem is with the department for not sending accountable people, because he actually told us that they were relevant people and would like to be involved in future, because they were never involved with whatever was happening. Because when we met the department, we had half information. When we met them, we thought we had the hands-on information. It's just that the part from the head office maybe did not link with the real people who are on the construction site. So we write what we are supposed to write, and as is already mentioned, we keep the whole department accountable for what's not right, because they can't send us people who are not informed to come and give us have information. They send them specifically because they knew they were relevant people to be on the site with us, because I presume they were deployed, delegated by the top test people up there.
I think that I really share your sentiments in that the reason why we inform the department when we take air visits is because we want them to send senior people who know. Now you get down there, the people who are supposed to be there are not there. Yeah. There's no information. But, you know, at the same time, that is another process. If we compile a report here in Parliament, that is not accurate. The minister will pick up the report, everyone will pick up the report, and say, this report is incorrect. Challenge us. I think that what we need to do is to take let's withhold the report, and take the department into task for not sending the relevant people. Because what Loma has found out is that the people who spoke to us, actually, in fact, even those people, if you remember, they kept on saying negotiations are taking place at another level, not at their level, at another level. And that another level, we never got. We came back after 3 days. We had not reached that another level. Now, I think that what we need to do is just as soon as possible, get a date. I agree with Honorable Swab that maybe it shouldn't necessarily be tomorrow. We give them notice that on this date we would want you to come and clarify these things. Yeah, so that we must give them what we call sufficient time to prepare for that. And the issue that is being clarified is not only that sentence of the SLP. It's the issue, what they told us. Honorable Tage is correct to say that. And that's what we do. Yesterday we also emphasized that what you say, we did say yesterday, that is that with or without the cooperation of the mine, they will continue. But you know, if you're given junior people now who do not have exactly the same, it's a problem. Now we hear that now already today there are negotiations that are taking place around this, because Honorable Zuba Matlakane was very strong yesterday and other day that how can they say that? In fact, I don't know what was Mr. Smith who kept on saying, no, we always knew that we will have to fill up the gap between what National Treasurer gives and what we call it, that the department will always fill up. And the question of baseline budgeting and what arose. But clearly, it was a waste of time, those discussions. They were not what we call it. So it's clear that let's accept the fact that we suspend this report. We get the Department of Home Affairs to clarify these questions, but exactly, so that our report should be as accurate as possible. Sorry.
I think in the invitation, we specifically showed them that we are not happy with what happened, because the purpose was to go there and get full information, and we are dissatisfied with what the department did by sending us people. We don't just invite them. We must also have a record of our own, so that we shouldn't be seen as people sitting and people waiting being scoba. We just tell them a nice letter that outlines our dissatisfaction in the invitation, not just an invitation to them.
Unfortunately, I only received this now, but you know, that's not your fault. I don't see any reference in here, just glancing through quickly. The fact that the initial underspending was due to the fact that they had the amounts they received were ring fenced. And then they couldn't spend that money, but the ring fence remained. In other words, that is why they rolled that fund over, you know, all the time. But it was allocated specifically for that project. So, you know, it's not clear in this. And I just don't want to feel that they come here and say, hey, but we told you the money was ring-fenced, and why, you know, why are you hopping on this? So, you know, that's the one thing. The other one, Chair, is that I think somewhere I see that there's a recommendation here with regard to the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, but we specifically also asked them how they deal with the traditional leaders in those areas to make sure that, you know, that people are being serviced with, in terms of water and sanitation, etc. And I just feel that we should bring the traditional leaders in here somewhere in the recommendation.
What is going to happen, you're right. What we did yesterday, we went through the report, made some corrections. Those the report that we have in you having is not an updated report. But we would like the researcher and to work on the updated report, which also has got findings before the recommendation. Maybe it's a report that will come back to people before we will finalize. Okay, Honorable Ramakar.
Chair, as we pass to this subject, can you just re-clarify to me so that I'm clear? We say we will defer, we're holding this report until we get further info from the department. The as crisp as possible, what do we want to get from the department? What do we want to get from them that will change the report materially? I just want to understand that. Because in my own little understanding, the fact remains a fact, including what they are negotiating about, which is not concluded, is what we have seen. And we don't have the detail about what that negotiation is about, where they are, because the junior official told us about that. So I just want to get in my mind what will change the material in the report as it stands, insofar as this department officials are coming to brief us. If you could please just help me to understand that, because for now I am struggling to understand that main key reason.
Okay. Hold on a second. Now, I think that there will be some changes, asking about material changes to the report. I think that some of the changes that are there, now I'm not sure whether the interpretation will be correct of being material or if the one where the period started with the issue of deliver this, what does this deliver mean? Our assumption was that deliver would mean that the water would get to the people. Come 1st of April 2011, they insisted. But now, what they are saying, and that is how we have what you call a crafted report. Now, what they are saying, no, we did not mean that. We mean that the dam would begin to store water on the 1st of April. That is one part. But the second thing is that the report that we got is what Honorable Sake was saying, that with or without the support of the mine, everything, the report would continue. Now, we find now that no, that is not accurate, actually. They do need that support because clearly, without them having clearly put it to us, this was a public-private partnership a project. Even it was not a full private, a triple P project, but they also banked on the mines buying under what you call of this. But now they are worried that now the mines have not bought it. And if they go out to raise the loan, they know that they will only get support on condition that the mines have bought on this thing. It's known that, well, there will be a commercial part, because it's clear that the social, what they call a component, will not be able to pay for the loan. But if there's a commercial, what they call a buy-in, then they can be able, the people who give the loan can give it, knowing that your mines, your ESCOM, and everyone will have a buy-in. I think there will be some changes, but then the other changes will really be minor changes then that would request members to read. But you're lucky, Honorable Swart, because we have not finalized the report. If we had finalized the report, once it's final, it's final. So, colleagues, shall we leave it there?
Yeah.
Okay. Honorable Swart.
Looking at the fact of accountability, and we are actually looking at the fact that do people put there by government as officials, as accounting officers, whether they are doing their job. And I think another thing is to prove whether the information that you get from the department is a reliable information that can assist in our oversight role and in speeding up or expediting the process of service delivery. So what I want to say is that we went there for the first time, for the first visit, and this is the type of the report that we got from them, right? And for me, I would say we got this report as it was. And then it's only when we made a telephonical report through our researcher, we found that this information that was put here was not reliable, was not accurate. So for me, I would say, first phase, we went there, we got this report. So let's go ahead and adopt it. And then we made some indications that when we made a follow-up, a telephonical follow-up, we found that this was not accurate. As a result, we want that department to come here and tell us why did they present something to us with themselves they was not going to be able to be achieved. So for me, if we defer the report, we don't adopt it now, it's as if we are trying to protect them somehow. Sometimes it's as if when we say police departments, when we go to them, we get information that is not reliable, that you cannot use. It's as if sometimes we are just trying to be impossible. But I think this is true proof what is actually happening as far as accountability is happening in the government. So I really don't know.
Can I suppress everyone now and take a conclusion, please? I think that you're quite right. You 100%. Everyone agrees with what you say. But the fact of the matter is that we can't knowingly adopt a report that we know that it is not actual. We can only fight with it. I think Comrade Mashepa put it very clear that in the letter it must be put very strongly to them that we object to the way they treated us. And as a result, now we have to get information, bits and pieces, after having come from there. And we had warned them before. They knew that we were going there. It's true what you say, they delegated people. Now it's them that say, no, those people didn't give you the correct information. But all we say is that the problem is that once this document becomes a public document, it's presented. There are other people other than them who have access to this report, which will be an inaccurate report. And I think that it will be an indictment upon us to produce a report that we know that it is not actually correct summary. So I really request members and to suppress anyone that now we close to this stage. Let's get a date. Togo will give us a date and we'll come and speak to these people. But I agree that we write a strong letter as possible to them. That really, I mean, they are wasting our time now. We have to defer this report. Thank you very much, honorable members. Thank you. We did get the analysis from our research unit. We have, in the interim, we have been also trying to make dates with some people that we thought that really needed to be invited. The difficulty that we have been having with this is that this report, we are receiving it during the time of the appropriation, you know, when departments are focusing on the budget vote, and now we really have to try to work with them such that it is we also cut down the cost, which is part of the responsibility of this committee, to ensure that we don't invite people and call people up and down from Pretoria. But I think that the report is with us. Maybe the members will give the final decision. Just with one remark I would like to make is about public works. Next week, I don't know, is the date that? Yeah, Wednesday. Yeah, next week Wednesday, which is the 20th. Yeah, we're inviting public works. Public works, if you look just at the broad, what you call it, expenditure, or is it 21st? Public works, just looking at the broad spending, it's okay, it's on par, because it's on track, because it's about 75%. And if you go deep into the report, you find that the uptake of the incentive scheme for the municipalities and the provinces is very low. For the municipalities, it's 17.5%, and for the provinces, it's 58%. Now, on that, I proposed yesterday that we invite Public Works, we invite COPTA, we'll invite National Treasury, we'll invite Provincial Treasury, and if possible, also SALGA and the provincial departments of local government, if
for settlement. So that, because it's clear that there's a problem around this incentive, which is meant to create a job. So I just wanted to make that remark. But may I invite Mr. Ramadan to take us through the report.
Thank you once again, sir. Before I take the members through the report, I would like to draw the attention of the members to page 2 of the report, of the document, not the presentation, the document. On page 2, there are some few changes that I would like us to make together before we actually go through the presentation on this report. On page 2, on the first heading, which is number 3, spending by the departments, in the 2008-2009 financial year, it's supposed to be 2009-2010 financial year. So we take out the 2008-2009, we put 2009-2010 financial year. The one that was developed by the researchers. Yes. Yeah. Now, before we start the presentation, there are some few corrections that I propose we do together. And on the very same paragraph, are we all there?
So, can you just repeat that?
Okay. In page 2, on the first heading, which is number 3 of page 2, spending by the department in the 2008-2009 financial year. It's supposed to be 2009-2010 financial year, because this yes, because we're talking about the third quarter expenditure for 2009-2010. Yes, so we take out the 2008-2009. Yes, on the same paragraph below that, we need to take out the Department of Sport and Recreation. And put Department of Education reporting highest expenditure of 9.13% instead of Sports and Recreation reporting highest expenditure of 92.8%. It should be education, yes. Reporting highest expenditure of 91.3%.
91.3%.
Yes. Yes, it's wrong, that figure, because it was referred to sport and recreation, not to education. Education is 91.3. So that's why I'm proposing those changes. I just discovered them. I think we dealt with this report when time was not right, and we have been overworked.
What I just want to clarify here is the sport and recreation has spent their budget up to 92.88.
No, Chair. It's education that we're talking about. We're referring to light mistake. Sport and recreation is not even selected in amongst these departments. It's not even one of these departments that were selected. Yes, so we need to speak about the departments that we've selected based on the criteria of the national priorities and also based on the wealth spending departments. And Department of International Relations and Corporations being the least spending at 47.14%, we need to take out the Department of International Relations and Corporations and put the Department of Public Service and Administration, which is 61.7%.
Point seven percent.
But we round it off to the nearest figure, and then it becomes one decimal place. 61.77%. It's Department of Public Service and Administration. So we take out the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. We scratch it out and put Public Service and Administration.
In my report, it's the DSA.
The DSA. Okay. You have to say it. Yes. You also have to say. Okay. So it, all right, okay. No, thank you very much, honorable members. I just wanted all of us. That's 61.77. Yes. Percent, yes. We work until 3 o'clock in the morning, so sometimes you sleep in the speaker. So I thank you for this opportunity. I just wanted to make sure that we are all on par in terms of the report or analysis. So we now go straight to the presentation of the debt code expenditure report. Yes. What we've done in the presentation, we just summarized and flagged the important issues for the interest of time. But most of the issues are being unpacked in the report itself. Yeah. So on the very first page speaks about the background, which consists of an introduction, which says that the analysis provides a detailed overview of government spending for the period 1st April 09 to 31 December 2009. It intends to highlight and flag out spending patterns of the national department. It also intends to draw the attention of Parliament.
Sorry, gentlemen. Can you go to number 2? Review of the total expenditure.
Okay.
That's our food.
Switch number 2. Okay, so number 2, the review of total expenditure. The total allocation amounted to 408.9 billion, excluding the direct charge. So this was the total appropriation of all the departments in the national government. We know that there's been a restructuring of government departments. So initially there were 36 departments. Now they've expanded to 43 departments. So the budget that we have is divided into 3 categories: current payments, transfers, and capital payments. So part of 408 billion was 118.7 billion, which was allocated for current payments on the same budget, which consists of 29% of the main budget. 282 billion was allocated for transfers and subsidies, which consists of the majority of the main budget, which is 68.9%. Those are the transfers and subsidies. 8.1 billion allocated for capital payment, which is 1.9% of the main budget. On the second slide, we focused on the spending of the departments in 2009-2010. We selected these departments in terms of the priority that were mentioned by the government during the beginning of the year, first priorities. We also look at those departments that are regularly under and overspending. Because if we are only going to focus on the priorities, the danger is that there are those departments that will be ignored, that will not be dealt with, but which are not doing well. So we have tried to cover all the departments across the spectrum. So we've got Home Affairs, which has spent up to the third quarter 71.12%, Public Works, the DSA, Art and Culture, Education, which has overspent, Health, Transport, Cocta, Minerals and Energy, Agriculture and Fisheries, and Water Affairs. Then, on page 3, we start by Home Affairs, as we have begun with it on the table. Home Affairs was allocated a total budget of 5.2 billion in 09-10 financial year after the adjustment. Departmental budget consists of 4 programs, namely. Hence, this is the third quarter reporting. We must take into account that third quarter takes place after the adjustment. Environment, shifting of funds, and rollovers has been done in September, October. So, The budget, the initial budget that was budgeted in the beginning of the financial year might not be the same as the budget that appears to the department after the adjustment, because some funds have been shifted from one program to another. Some have entered into the department, some have, you know, taken to another department because of understanding. So this department has got administration, which was allocated $1 billion, service to citizens, which was allocated $1.3 billion, immigration services allocated $1.4 billion, transfers to other agencies, which is allocated $1.1 billion. Transfers to other agencies include the IEC, the publication and films, as well as the printing, government works. So in the overall budget, Department of Home Affairs has only spent $3.7 billion, which is 71% of the main budget in the third quarter. This is an indication of underspending. Normally, the assumption is that department should at least on the third quarter have spent about 75% of their budget, because the assumption is that each quarter they spend 25%, even though it differs from department to department because they've got different environments and different challenges. So the reason for this understanding, only $883 million was spent in the immigration services program, which is 58.9%. This was due to the delays in the submission of invoices of Who Am I Online. Who Am I Online is the project that is under the program of immigration services in the department. Secondly, the department also only spent $885 million in the Service to Citizens program, which is 65.1% of the main budget of the department. So therefore, the department project underspending of $102 million, which is 2%. This underspending of in this program was due to the unspent fund of the Smart Card ID. So the underspending of this department is mainly concentrated on these two programs, because these two programs are the major programs of this department. Hence, they received a majority of the budget. So if they don't spend on these programs, surely there will be an underspending, because they constitute a majority of the budget. We go to the DPW, Department of Public Works, which was allocated $6 billion in 2009-2010 after adjustment. It also consists of four programs: administration, which allocated $688 million, provision of land and accommodation, $4.4 billion, National Public Works Program, $884 million, auxiliary and associated services, $49.2 million. In the overall budget, DPW has only spent $3.7 billion, which is 71.1% in the third quarter. The reason for this underspending, only $3.3 billion spent in the provision of land and accommodation programs. This was due to unpaid invoices for property management entity. And secondly, only $518 million, which is 58.6%, spent in the National Public Works Program. This was due to the non-transfer funds to other receiving public bodies. I think Chair has made some indications with regard to the public work that it has been invited to come to try and address these issues of unspent funds of the incentive grant, because it was really meant to create job opportunities, labor-intensive opportunities for the municipalities and for the provinces. So if those funds are unspent, then how do we begin to justify job creation as a priority in government? So the reason why these funds are not spent, are not transferred to the public bodies, is mainly because of these public bodies not meeting the performance threshold, which was suggested by the public works. And also, during the adjustment period, they got an additional funding of $91 million, which is also unspent in this program. When we go to Department of Public Services and Administration, which is DPSA, it was allocated $429.8 million in 2009-2010 after the adjustment. And the department has about seven programs, namely administration allocated $116 million, human resource management and development in government allocated $69.9 million, management of compensation of employees allocated 117 million. Information and technology management allocated 40.1 million. Service delivery improvement allocated 34.3 million. Government for Public Services Administration 38.4 million. Center of Public Service Innovation 14.2 million. In the overall budget, of GBSA, GBSA has only spent 165 million, which is 61.8% in the third quarter, but surely an underspending. So the reason for this underspending, according to the report, is that only 27.6 million has been spent in the human resource management and development in government program, which is allocated 69.9 million. 27.6 million is 39% of this budget. So it's an underspending since this is the third quarter. This underspending is due to the unspent transfers to PCTA and Human Resource Connect. Apparently, PCTA, there's been issues about PCTA when it was still under DPSA. And when, I remember, when we made a follow-up on those issues, the DPSA told us that PCTA is the responsibility of labor, Department of Labor. Labor was busy reviewing all the status. So we were expecting the report from the DPSA after labor has finalized the review process of the status. So as of now, we haven't had anything. But now the CETAs have all been located under the Higher Education Department. So only 16.6 million, which is 41%, was spent in the ITMG program, which is Information and Technology Management, which was allocated 40.1 million due to the delays in Tucson Center connectivity. So this program is really responsible for, before they used to call this project a multi-purpose center, where the department is responsible for installing the programs to all departments, a program that will assist people when they want to check their status, either be your ID status, your marital status, or whatever you want to check. You will be able to access that information in any of the departments. So DPSA is responsible for that program. It finances its budget for it, so it has underspent on that program. Department of Art and Culture was allocated a total budget of 2.6 billion in 09-10 period, as I just mentioned. Department is responsible for six programs, namely administration, budgeted 144 million, art and culture in society, 393 million, national language services, 93.3 million, cultural development and international cooperation, 214 million, heritage promotion, 1.2 million, national archives, 568 million. Of this budget, the department has only spent 1.6 billion, which is 62% in the third quarter of 2009-2010. This is really an underspending as well. The reason for this underspending was the only 601 million, which is 43%, was spent in the heritage promotion program, which was allocated 1.21 million. The reason for this underspending was due to the certain transfers which were not yet made, e.g. capital works for public entities, e.g. museum and promotion of heritage. Secondly, only 115 million was spent for the cultural development and international cooperation program, which is 24% below the projected expenditure for the third quarter. This underspending was due to the unspent funds for cultural industries, investing in culture and promotion of art and culture. This program includes investing in culture and promotion of art and culture. These sub-programs are the key drivers of the poverty alleviation strategy for this department. Therefore, if they have underspent in this particular program, it means that the poverty alleviation strategy is not well implemented. There is no progress in that regard. So it's really a concern. But more information has been given to the report as to why, because they've indicated some issues related to vacancies and also the suspension of the DG of the program. It is an acting DG and Acting DG is not signing and making an approval for transfers and stuff like that. So there's really a problem in that department in terms of the stability of the head of this program. So the stability is one factor that actually creates the understanding, because if there is nobody to sign to approve the transfer, then there will be no transfer to other entities. Department of Education was allocated 21.8 billion in 2009-2010 period after adjustment. Department is responsible for 7 programs: administration 235, system planning and monitoring 112 million, general education 850 million, further education and training 221.7 million, social and school enrichment 2.8 billion, higher education 17.5 billion. Which constitute the majority of the budget of this department. Auxiliary and associated services, 32 million. In the overall budget, the OE has only spent 19.9 billion in the third quarter of 2009-2010 period. This translates to a huge overspending in the overall budget. And the reason for overspending, due to 17.1 billion, which is 97%, which was transferred to higher education institutions. That one is a once-off expenditure. And also due to 187.8 million, which is 84% spent for further education and training, which includes the unexpected cost escalated from moderators and examiners in the last year. The Department of Health was allocated a budget of 18.4 billion in the 2009-2010. Yes, Chair, I propose that I just go straight to the summary of findings. If I have 5 minutes remaining, because I think I'm not going to make it.
Unless I do, you have something
that special that you want to mention. I think I wanted to mention some of the crucial issues on the Department of Minerals and Energy. The Department of Minerals and Energy has also only spent 3.3 million out of 3.3 billion out of 4.7 billion which was allocated. And the underspending was due to the 141.7 million spent for electricity, nuclear and clear energy program. They only spend 47% of this program, which is an understanding, and it's a challenge, because there are schools and clinics that they have backlog, that they haven't addressed the backlog of electricity. In one of the studies we did last year, they indicated to us that they had finalized all the backlog in terms of schools and clinics, but when we do the research, we discover that there were so much backlog that they still need to deal with. So sometimes the information from the department might be misleading. And also, secondly, the underspending was due to 5.6 million, which is 52% spent for the renewable energy subsidy scheme. And also, nothing was spent in the 5 million allocation for working for energy program. That means there was a zero spending up to the third quarter for 5 million allocation for working for energy program. There was also a zero spending for 149 million allocated to deal with the backlog of electrification of schools and clinics. The other department that I wanted to indicate is Department of Agriculture, Chair, which has allocated 3.8 billion, but it has only spent 2.3 billion. Can I be protected, sir? Department of Agriculture, Chair. Yes. It was allocated 3.8 billion, but it only spent 2.3 billion, which is 61.4%. The underspending was due to the zero expenditure of 579 million allocated for forestry program, and further information was not provided in this regard. So it means there was no expenditure. There was no spending of this budget for the program forestry. There was no expenditure until the third quarter. Secondly, it was also due to the zero expenditure, which was reported to a number of sub-programs, such as and our other program tools, such as Outsourced Refice, Food Bank SA, AgriBE, and Perishable Product Export Control. There was no expenditure in this sub-program as well up to the third quarter. Only $146 million was spent for MAFISA, which is below the allocated $367 million. No further information was provided in this regard. Chair, this remains a concern since the aim of some of these allocations is to uplift the emerging farmers, such as MAFISA and the AgriBE.
But when you say there's no report, you mean that when you phone them, they don't respond? Or when you write to them?
Chair, when I look at the third quarter expenditure report per program, there is a zero expenditure. There is no spending. So under allocation, it's 100% unspent.
Call them and make a query. Why is it that they didn't send
the
no explanation?
No, Chair, until I get that money to the committee to do so. Yeah. It has to be approved by this committee. Chair, the water affairs again was allocated $7.8 billion and it has only spent $5 billion, which is 64.7%. The reason due to $481.5 million not spent on vacancies and invoices. There's some delays of invoices in this regard. That's why the money was not spent. Due to $286 million not spent since schools and clinics backlog grant has been reclassified from capital payments to transfer payment. There's been a reclassification of this grant, Chair. That is why they did not spend it, because there was going to be a confusion as to if they spend it, where does it fall? Under which classification. So they wanted to first finish the classification process. Due to slower spending on some grants such as bulk infrastructure and backlog grant in water and sanitation in schools and clinics, the department is further projecting an underspending of $372 million, which is 5% at the end of the financial year. So part of this underspending emanates from certain projects such as Nandoni, Inyaga Phase 2 and Shushuwe Phase 1, 2, and 3 water project. Then the summary of findings, Chair, we said there is a lack of action on the committee's recommendations. This results in the reoccurring findings, which include vacancy rates, delays in procurement processes, infrastructure spending, and TCT challenges. We said a number of conditional grants have been underutilized. This includes hospital revitalization, rural transport phases, infrastructure, national energy efficiency, MIG, bulk infrastructure backlogs in water and sanitation at clinics and clinics, delays in the submissions of business plans and other required documents such as service level agreements and MOUs to continue to impact on government spending, particularly in the areas of transfers. There is also a culture of acting in senior positions which creates instability in the organization and delays in signing of invoices, e.g. the window of culture is a classic example in this case. This culture also compromises both performance and financial management in the organization. Funds meant to address the socioeconomic conditions are not fully utilized. This includes MAFISA, AgriBE, and water infrastructure. We say that certain important tenders, such as smart card, literacy, and numeracy workbook, are either cancelled or suspended due to irregularities and inefficiencies. This includes one of the five government priorities, which is literacy and numeracy workbook under education. Education is one of the five government priorities. The PW has not transferred incentive grants to some provinces and municipalities, especially those that are still struggling to meet the targeted threshold. However, this grant aims to create labor-intensive employment through job creation and skills development programs. I think I'm done.
Well, thank you very much.
But maybe one or two things for the committee to note. Chair, moving forward, after reporting, after observing the kind of report that we have in front of us, is that the reporting as well by National Treasurer remains a concern. The format of reporting, really, it doesn't give us the real picture of what has been spent in the third quarter, but it just gives you the overall expenditure, which is a year to date. Therefore, when we do the conduct oversight, we don't analyze the year to date. We look at specifically what was allocated for the third quarter and what was spent on then. What are the projections and what was spent? But now, if they will give you an information like this one, it just gives you a blanket approach where you look at the year to date from April to December. Whereas meanwhile, from April to December should be used as a verification and a supporting mechanism from the quarter-to-quarter spending. So it's up to this committee to actually decide on the format that of the report they need from Treasury. Like one kind of format that they used to give us was the report, which consists of the columns where they will specify from quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, up to the fourth quarter, and give the overall expenditure versus the previous financial year's expenditure as well. So that you compare and contrast as a researcher whether there is any improvement in spending or there is no improvement in spending. Secondly, Chair, Section 43 of the PFMA does allow divergence in shifting. However, it poses a risk as well, because some departments use this opportunity as a scapegoat not to plan most of the time. Because if you have properly planned, you cannot shift in 6 months down the line, change those plans and shift and shop and change everything, almost every program. What they do now with regard to this clause, they just pocket the money in some programs where they know exactly that they're not going to spend more and budget for some programs that they know they are uncertain in terms of their spending to an average. So that when it comes to final quarter of the financial year, they just move those funds to level up their expenditure so that they get 100% expenditure. If you observe, Chair, on the fourth quarter, you will see, Chair, most of the department has spent 99% or 100% for that matter. But when you look at their expenditure trends from quarter to quarter, it doesn't give you that indication. So the fundamental question is that, how do they manage to consolidate that expenditure at the end of the financial year to make sure that it's 100% or 99-point-something%. So those are the kinds of issues that I wanted to draw to the committee. And also, most importantly, the follow-up as well of the implementation of committee recommendations still remain a challenge, because the reason why we're facing when the same findings and recommendations is maybe there is no proper follow-up in terms of the committee recommendations, whether they're implemented or not by the department. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much.
There you are. Budget would have been good if you had put this observation in your findings. I think that we have also, except for the first one, about the breakdown of spending quarterly, but the issue of environment is grappling with, means that we need to find a solution. Honourable members, there is a report. I think maybe what we need to do, we can look at those departments. This department is the problem with this spending. Sometimes you think that people are spending, but the details of it show that perhaps where it matters, they're not spent. So we have a right to look at. Sometimes to speak to those departments that have been identified here and those that have not been identified. Honorable Swart, Honorable Ravid, Honorable Ramachandra.
Chair, I think the finding by the researcher in the first one is that there is a lack of action on the recommendations of the committee is very true. If you take Home Affairs, for instance, the smart ID card, for 6 years now, they've been underspending on that specific one, but every year they put in millions and billions of rand into that program. As a committee which now has the power to start looking at these things and changing them, we must tell them that you're not going to get this again until you get your house in order, because they are not getting their house in order. They just put it on the budget every year, and then there's underspending of a few million or a lot of million, and nothing happens, despite the fact that we call them every year, we talk to them. But I would like to recommend, Chair, that we call all these departments that have been highlighted in here, that we have an interview with them, that let them explain the reasons why find out and interrogate them on those issues before we carry on.
Honorable Haraplan?
Yes, I'm also concerned about, especially more in my line of agriculture, I think that's a priority to reinforce, but I agree we must call all these departments and that they must come and explain to us what's going on. I support that.
But I think that when we make this recommendation, I'm sorry, I think that when we make this recommendation, we must also take into account that we don't only have this plan. Our other priority now is the appropriation, you know, so that we can take, we can invite departments, but rather we select those departments that we want to invite.
No, it's helpful. Maybe can I just say that I think it's a useful briefing. But I'm just... Is it not talking about it? Okay, I was going to suggest that I think that normally there is a spike that happens on the fourth quarter or a dumping, fiscal dumping. I'm not sure whether we want to do the interruption or the interrogation of the department now. My view, I would have suggested that we should look at the third quarter together with the fourth quarter. When we do the discussion with the department, collapse the two quarters, so we can see in terms of the pattern on the third quarter and the pattern on the last quarter when people believe that if they don't spend this money, they're going to lose it. So we can then look at, get a better explanation from the department in that way. So all I'm saying is that maybe we should not accelerate this hearing from the department until we thought we must put it together with the last quarter. And I don't know when is the last quarter, when we're going to receive the report from Treasury, because there's a stipulation that they don't normally meet. They don't normally meet as a department the requirement of the PSA in terms of the reporting. So, being that, I'm uncertain about that. But I still want to think that it will do much better. We will see much better. We'll get much answers that we want from the department if we put the two quarters together in term of expenditure. I think that if you look at the 61% expenditure in December and the 100% expenditure, I would like to see what has been the final expenditure on the last quarter before we engage with the department, so that at least, because they can tell another, no. Don't worry, look at the last quarter. The last quarter we'll spend all the money. So you're worried about the first quarter, wait until you see the report. So let's see the report collectively. So that's the one point I want to make. The second point I want to make, Chair, is that perhaps on the recommendation, and I'm speaking general because I'm not going into recommendation, We should tighten the recommendation to give clear indication that the non-compliance has a consequence. There must be a consequence of non-compliance. Otherwise, you can't, every report we say, the department are not implementing the recommendation. So it becomes, we ended up being a kind of broken record, saying the same thing. Now we should look at the prescript in terms of what consequences each department should in fact bear if they don't necessarily comply with it. So
So I think that in terms of the prescript that guides the committee, there should be some consequences. For an example, I'm looking at this vacancy level. Now, if a department takes 2 years to fill a post, it may suggest that they don't really need the post. You know, the budget is year to year. Meaning if you budget for 10 officials, you have to employ 10 officials in that year. Not on the third year, when you're consistently conservative year you are budgeting for. So the prescript should then help us to say, here is the consequences that each department is going to be faced if they don't comply with the implementation. So, and I do have some suggestion to make once we come to the point of recommendation itself. So that on a general level that I'm saying, Chair, is that we should maybe humbug and money in terms of calling the department, put together the two reports, and then we see a proper picture. I'm also mindful of the work. I think humbug and money means stada, not stada. So, and then the second thing I'm saying is that the recommendation must tighten them up a bit. There must be a complete consequences to the department that are non-compliant. Then you'll see the department starting to jump when you then say the consequence is this, because the parliament adopts a report, then there's going to be consequences to that. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you. I just want to report something, that when you saw me taking a phone, walking out, I was inviting the, in fact, the normal invitation is done by now the Home Affairs Department tell us that there are, when was this invitation sent? To Home Affairs? On the 1st of April. They have not responded to us. Apparently they tried to call me yesterday or here. Now they tell her that no, they have been, actually they are seeing the portfolio committee on the day when. That really was incredible. I got really, I don't have the language, maybe I'm I got angry about that. That they prioritize other committees, the portfolio committee, because it's inviting them, instead of coming to us when we have invited them first. We send them the invitation to them, we send the invitation to the portfolio committee. Now we receive invitation from the portfolio committee inviting us now to their meeting to discuss the issues that are raised here that we want to discuss. So we had a bit of a fight with the DG, the new DG, not the one that you know. But he said I'll be meeting him this afternoon because I told him that we don't buy the issue of them prioritizing the other and the portfolio committee over us. We have the same rights as any other committee. But he was saying to me, no, it is not the case. It's that apparently it's in the year planner of the portfolio, but he will clarify with me. I'm just saying that I just wanted to get that out of my way. But with the issues of how we approach the report, I think that the other suggestion that says let's invite them all, clearly it will not be possible because of the we have to monitor this appropriation, because at the end there's going to be a break when around the 13th. All the appropriation, I think all the committees, all the votes will have been done by the 13th, from which we need to engage in another process of hearings. And if there are no amendments, I don't think that there are any amendments. Up to now, we have not received anything. But we have lined up a program for independent people just to inform, to analyze for us the budget. So for the next 2 weeks after the 13th, on the 27th, must be debated.
On the
27th of May. Now, so it means that we really can't take everything as we would like to. We would like to do that. But the time that we haven't got enough time. Remember that we have to break early, I think, by the 4th of June, because the 11th, you want to go to Soccer City in Joburg when the World Cup opens. Now, Honorable Ramatakala Khan's suggestion that maybe we can handle the money so that the fourth quarter report is there. The fourth quarter report, I think the draft should be out by tomorrow. By the 15th or so. In fact, now around the 20th or so, you can get figures, just clean figures, without information or anything. We can do that, but I'm not sure how it's going to help us, because Honorable Ramatakala is correct. This department that has spent 61%, 50-something%, come, the report that you're going to get at the end of the first quarter is that they have spent everything. And some of them can even put 1% over and above the 100%. But the question is whether that expenditure really translates into a deliver. It is not the case. So, I mean, it's something that we can really look at. But, Honorable Sap, you're quite right. You know, I think that, the other thing that I wanted to say, I know it's your question, maybe I can just preempt you. About the process of the implementation of this thing during the budget parliamentary office. We have a meeting now at 12 o'clock that we need to attend to deal with that. But the issue is that what you're saying is that clearly, what I wanted to say actually is that the parliament is now combining a training document, which I think that maybe the draft is out already. October. I think there's a draft document out. In fact, there are dates that have been put to train members on the money bill. Maybe ourselves, once those dates are clear, we might can have to divide ourselves, others. And I think that the date will be staggered over time. So clearly, it will be a good thing that members understand the money bill. Once they understand this act, I think that things will change. For now, what we're really trying to do on a drama Sagan is that we're trying to, for instance, when we invite Home Affairs, we also invite the Portfolio Committee. That's why I'm saying they've invited us. But we invite the Portfolio Committee to come so that we share the observation with them, with the Portfolio Committee. They must make follow-up on those things. We're doing the same with Public Works. We invite all the relevant players, your Portfolio Committee for Public Works, your Portfolio Committee for COCTA, everyone who we think that it is important, so that there should be what we call a follow-up. So we take a holistic approach. But with the first recommendation, I think that over and above that, then we need to, I'm just making a suggestion, I'm thinking loudly. We will have to move towards inviting the speaker sometime to this meeting. Say to him, he is the head of the institution. If we make recommendations and constantly be people don't want, consistently, people do not take youth recommendation. What do we do? Because at the end of the day, he is a person who must take up. But we can't, what we call them, play that election, we call them scratch records. You call it here? Broken records. Yeah. I mean, we can't continue playing it. We have to make a recommendation, and we pass on that, and we see that there is action. We need to find some form of response from the department. If they agree or disagree with us, I think they must engage with us. In fact, SCOPA has started inviting ministers. There's nothing stopping us from inviting ministers, because we speak to officials, they agree with us here, they go out, they don't implement these things.
Chairman, first and foremost, I think what you said is very important. Expenditure does not guarantee delivery. And with due respect, Chairman, I think Home Affairs is a fine example of this. They really, with due respect, they spend their allocated amounts of money. But whether it reaches the people at ground level is highly questionable. The second aspect, Mr. Chairman, if you monitor expenditure, you must be proactive. You must be very aware of the fact of having a spike at the end of the year, because that projects a very slanted picture. In fact, this is the duty of this particular, the brief of this committee, to monitor the spending throughout the fiscal year, not within the last 3 months. That is highly unacceptable, and that's why some of these departments get away with what is unacceptable expenditure. Chairman, I think that, and I'm going to say something which I think, my considered opinion is that the recommendations of this committee is not taken seriously by some of these particular departments. And I'd welcome the fact that we must put this in writing to them, that we'll take further action, and that you have already requested an appointment with the Speaker. Because, Chairman, I don't think it can carry on like this, because these recommendations was basically the same last year again. And if we don't act now, it's going to be the same next year. So I'd like to ask, and I think the rest of the committee, that we take drastic steps regarding this. And I think Home Affairs is a fine example, but there are some other departments which are not pulling their weight as well. Thank you, Chair.
I was just saying with the Speaker, I've not already invited him, but I think that we're reaching that stage now of speaking to him directly. And I prefer a situation where he comes to the committee rather than meeting with the chairperson, but rather speak to us here so that we all understand. He understands the frustration of the committee. Because we're working really, and we're not making any progress. We would really like to make a difference. So we can't be happy on one thing every day. Without results.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think following on what you said, I would suspect as we've written already to Home Affairs about what worries us from them, we should now start by taking it from there, because look at all our reports and send letters to all these people who haven't responded to us, because as Mr. Rady has said, you are doing it since you are doing nothing, and you've also reiterated on that. Let's write letters. We must have proof that you call these people, and whenever we want to complain and we go to the speaker, we should be having some fact that we did this and this and this and there's no response. We already have that proof that we want reports from them, but we don't get them. We can go through our work and see that we have on several occasions in our reports mentioned this. The reports should go to the HTC and they know. You remember one day, we know that the deputy president is interested in seeing work being done. So I think we have someone who supports our reports. in the name of the deputy president. And if we don't get any response from these people, we directly also communicate with them that we are people don't respond to the serious issues of service delivery. And we look as if we're doing nothing for the rest of the term. Whereas the reports go there, they're in the ATC, the ministers know, the departments know, we call the departments regularly. If we can start by now and saying what are we doing about this department and send out the relevant, remind them that we discussed this and this and this with you. What have we done about it? Because we are still waiting. I think our Department of Public Works, we've already written a letter to them because we are calling them on specific issues. We follow those specific issues which are related to underspending, and we take it from there. And the other departments like Home Affairs. Home Affairs, we know that we have proven facts that they've been underspending for a long time. We call them, we write, and we want and they have a very proactive minister who has done very good work wherever he was. And I don't think he can be a problem, we don't know. But from her track record, she stands on with whatever she does. And she won't agree with floppy work from the department.
I can agree more with you, Con. I mean, already, people, since she started, people are being arrested in the department. So she wants to fix it, you know. So she needs our support. So, Honorable.
Yes. Okay, but on that point, I can only say we must just give them 7 days. Time frame, 7 days. What's the date?
I suspect that you have a Sadhu influence. I'm not sure if that comes from you or Sadhu. Sadhu, I suspect that Sadhu that is speaking through your mouth, through you. 7 days that we demand. So, colleagues, I think that then we can. Thank you very much for this report, Lamar. I think that it really helps us to identify those people that we think that without electricity, we know. But if our argument can be concrete, you know, not general. People can have a proof of what we are saying. So when we invite them, we say to them, look, this is the situation in the school, and we can't understand why, where on earth you get the fact that this has been done. I mean, we know as well. We know from where we start. Many schools in the country, many schools do not have electricity, don't have water, but all that we want people could get. I don't know how. Who can we speak to? Maybe HRC can help with HRC. Maybe could help with proof of the number of schools that don't have this thing, so that we should confront them with that kind of information.
Thanks, sir. Chair, I'm just responding to what you're saying. Last time when we dealt with them in terms of verifying those backlogs, they were not responding at all to our request to verify the numbers of the backlog that we had discovered at that time, the department. So they were not responding at all. So what we did, we used our own sources, which I cannot recall right now. But we do have that information. We did discover that information, that schools and clinics were not as they were projecting to us, to the committee, and to the report.
We have the FSC, HSFC. They can help us with information, the concrete information that we can confront with them. think then Honorable Ramantakana, maybe we could combine the suggestions. We continue with the hearing, but at the same time, just ask National Federal to give us those rough figures that they have. They will not be what you call it, concrete figures, but so that we can be able to compare, you know. Because, I mean, the areas that have not spent are those areas that are very important to us. You look at agriculture, no spending for forestry. I was listening to the minister yesterday presenting her speech, and she was talking about job creation that does not exist in forest or what. But we've got about 600 million that has not been spent here. You know, there's zero spending. There's no spending to programs like your food bank, agri-BEE. She was talking about those things yesterday. Mafisa, people complain about access to finance small farmers. But we're not spending, the money is there. In fact, if you go to, if you ask people from my constituency what they call experience, I'm sure what I'm going to say, all members experience it. If you say to someone who wants to start a small business and you say go to, what is this thing of PTI? Kula. You go to Kula, you go, and people say, you can go there for me yourself. No one wants to go back there because people are not what you call it, assisted. But I think we need to bring proof, you know, now. A lot of members, I think then that we will invite some departments, and I mean, the NHG will invite agriculture.
We have the last quarter report so that we don't get into a discussion that wastes our time. That what the you must see the last quarter will spend all the money. So let's try and manage the two together.
Yeah.
So I agree with that. And then you heard me. So that message is clear.
Yeah.
All right. No, then I'm happy. Otherwise, I.
We have what they call adopted that position, Honorable Matana. We'll have to make these recommendations tantamount to that. I mean, if we're making recommendations that fall on deaf ears, then it means that we're saying the only committee that exists is common. That's where people will listen, and because the AG we have. Now, we shouldn't do that. I think that you're quite right, but let's support that process of educating members on the money piece so that members should be able to say, I mean, this money bill is very clear in terms of saying when they make those annual review reports and recommendations, they're able to say, well, if you ask for this money, how are you going to spend it? Because over the years, we have not been able to spend it. Now, how do we support it? We're going to be very busy. Once members understand this, we'll really be busy. But let's support that program. For us members, because there's no one that is proposing, can I propose closure?